It is so good to look out and see faces. If you'll remember, last week was still very icy and snowy. So we're so glad that you're here today. If we haven't met, my name is Sam McLaughlin, and I'm the senior pastor here at Bellmead, and I would love the chance to get to meet you. Just to give you a little heads up on what's coming up next week, I am going on vacation. Okay, you don't have to clap, but I am very excited. Rachel is going to be preaching for us next week. I'll be back, but she's going to preach next Sunday, and we're going to actually extend No Time Like the Present one more week. So you get one more week of our current sermon series, and then as Gracie said, Children's Sunday is February 11th. It is amazing. So I hope you'll come. It's at 10:30, one service, and we would love to see you there. I also meant to lift up in the joys that Bellmead 101 starts next Sunday again, and we have 19 people already. Really exciting stuff. So if you are new to the church or interested in Bellmead 101, send me an email this week, and we would love for you to be a part of that as we get started. During this series, which again is called No Time Like the Present, we have been looking at these invitations that Jesus is issuing different people. We read about the calling of his first disciples who were out fishing, and he came along the shoreline and he said to them, come and follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. So these are people who knew how to fish for fish, but he's saying, I'm going to show you what it's like to bring people into the kingdom. You know, follow me and my ministry. We talked about on that same day this sort of lovely, deep breath invitation that Jesus offers in Matthew 11. He says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Come with me, get away with me, you'll recover your life. You know, watch me, work with me, learn how I do it. He even says, you will learn these unforced rhythms of grace, that if you keep company with me, you will learn to live freely and lightly. And I've always felt that, wow, that is an invitation, right? To recover my life from the things that steal it in this world. To learn that I can live freely and lightly if I am walking with Jesus. Last week, we looked at this teaching, this invitation that he offered in what is called the Sermon on the Mount. His disciples come up close to him on this mountainside, and he teaches them a lot of different things. But one of those things is not to worry about the future. He actually says, who can add a single hour to their life by worrying? He says, seek first the kingdom and everything else falls into place. And so last week we talked a little bit about time in the Bible, that we see these chronos time, which is sort of the keeping the clock, like right now it is 9 o'clock on the dot. But then there's this kairos time in the Bible. And what we mean by that is this invitation to live in a time zone that is different than what we follow in the world. Kairos means in this moment, this opportune time, this harvest time, what mystics called deep time. Father Richard Rohr says, we know that we're living in Kairos time when we look out in a certain moment and we say, it cannot get any better than this. Right? And so it's those times when, like, we really see that loved one in front of us. Like, we're totally embraced and enveloped in what is happening here and now. This week, there's some different invitations. The scribe says, teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Jesus says, don't expect the Hilton. You know, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but you're not going to even have a pillow, a place to lay your head. Another disciple turns to him and says, well, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus says, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. You know, not the same invitation as what we hear in Matthew 11, like recover your life, learn the grace, you know, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. One commentator argues that we have done a lot of work to try to sugarcoat this moment, that we have tried to water it down and give it metaphorical meaning, but that Jesus was actually being dead serious, right? He explains that this man's father has just died, traditional burial would have taken place on that same exact day. And so it doesn't seem like a crazy request to go and be a part of that and then follow Jesus. But that is exactly the point. Absolutely nothing takes priority over Jesus's call to discipleship. So I thought about that this week, you know, this exact instance. Would I say no to burying my parent in order to say yes to something I felt that Jesus was calling me to do? My initial response to that was, that is really just too big of an ask, right? That's too big of an ask. But then I thought about people in our culture, in our society, that say no in order to say yes. Doctors, right, who say no to certain things with their families in order to save a life. I thought about my brother-in-law, Kyle. He has been an Air Force pilot for 10 years, and there's these milestones and times with his own family that he has missed, but it's because he feels like he has a higher calling and a higher purpose, you know, and that, of course, affects his family. And so here, yet again in this moment, what I think we hear is Jesus kind of giving us, again, this urgency of mission. This moment where he's saying, this life with me requires every ounce of commitment and trust that you have. You know, will you follow him no matter what? Where you go, will you go where he is calling, even if you don't know what you will wear or what you will eat or drink or where you will sleep? Will you say no to one really important thing in order to say yes to another really important thing? And so, you know, when we look at our own lives and we examine, you know, what do we say yes to and what do we say no to? How do we decide? I would argue, and it's okay if you disagree with me, that by and large, most of us are not good at saying no. Right? We live, again, we talked about this last week, in this sort of grind you into the ground culture, you know, fill the planner, schedule every hour, mark your success by your productivity. We feel bad saying no. We worry about what people are going to think about us if we say no. We don't want to disappoint people. We don't want to create conflict or confrontation. We want to be liked. We want to be needed. We want to be important, but we know that what happens if we start not saying no is we end up overcommitted and overstimulated and overwhelmed. We can't keep up, and suddenly, like, nothing in our lives is enjoyable, right? We end up not having time for ourselves, no margin, no breathing room, no truly sacred space to, like, be quiet and actually hear the voice of God and let our hearts catch up to themselves. You know, we end up not having time for our family or friends, or if we do have the time, it's the leftovers, or like we're there, but we're not there. Do you know what I mean by that? Like we're present, but we are not there. And so how do we start saying no in order to say yes? A couple of weeks ago, I was in the Sprouts. Well, I was in the parking lot of Sprouts at Bellevue. I was walking out of the Well Coffee House. I met with someone who's new to our church and was just getting to know them. And as I was getting in my car and backing out, I saw a really good friend who was shoving her grocery cart into the holder in the parking lot of Sprouts. So I rolled down the window and I yelled her name, and she leaned into the car window and we started to chat. And it was one of those moments when you're like, wow, we really haven't seen each other and caught up. So I'm like, get in the car. So she gets in the car and we pull into a parking spot, and she said, I'm so glad I ran into you because I've been meaning to tell you something that my therapist said. This is the kind of friend who, like, we swap therapist ideas, you know, we tell each other good advice. And so she said, I want to tell you this tool that my therapist gave me. She said, when it comes to making a decision, you know, saying yes or saying no, you can use this acronym, ODAT. I'm going to let you write it down. You might want to write it down. ODAT. And she said, you can remember it by one day at a time. That's not what it means, although that's really good advice and it fits, you know, totally what we're talking about. But ODAT, the O stands for opportunity. The D stands for desire. The A stands for ability. And the T stands for time. And so she said, when it comes to making a decision, ask yourself, is this an opportunity for me? Do I have the desire to do it? Do I have the ability? Do I have the time? And if the answer to any of those questions is no, then don't do it. Don't do it. And so for me, this acronym, the desire and the time were the kickers, right? Like most of the time we have ample opportunities to choose from. Somebody probably wouldn't ask us to do it if we didn't have the ability, but I don't always have the desire and I don't always have the time. And even if we do have the time, is it how we want to be spending it, right? Even if we do have the time, do we have the desire? And this is where, throughout this series, I've been saying it every week, this is where being present and awake to yourself is so important. What do you truly want to do? That isn't selfish. That is having a sense of self. Brené Brown, she talks about this in a different way, and it's another good tool. She says that when someone has started to ask her, if she'll do something, she stops and she spins the ring on her finger 3 different times before she answers. She says she calls it her boundary ring. And so she uses this example that someone came up to her and said, do you want to bake 5 dozen cookies for school tomorrow? And she paused and she spun her ring and she said, nope, you know? Because like she says, in that moment, she has to say to herself, I can choose discomfort over resentment, right? Like she's acknowledging it is sometimes very uncomfortable to say no. But if I don't say no, I end up being resentful. And so she says, like, if I don't say no, I end up like in the kitchen stirring the cookie mix while my kids want me to be nice and gentle with them. And I'm just saying, I hate these people. I hate these kids. I hate this school. You know, it's right. Like we have to have the courage. We have to have the courage to say no, you know? So really what I'm saying here is that saying no has benefits. You know, we don't always think about it that way, but saying no has benefits. Saying no to a good thing can lead us to say yes to a great thing. Saying no can lead to less exhaustion, less resentment. Saying no can lead to greater depth. You know, instead of being so spread thin, we get to relish again in this like deep life, this deep time. We get to be wrapped up in the kairos moment and movement of the kingdom. Saying no can lead us to a focus of mission. This is actually partly why our church council said, you know what, we need to do a mission audit here at the church. We need to find out the things that are really important to people that they want to be a part of. As a community, we need to make sure that we're not spread too thin, that we're not exhausting people, that we can have depth in our mission and ministry versus being spread out among all of these other things. We can have focus. And what we also know is that saying no can lead us to new territory, to new ministry, to new adventure. In fact, the more that I read this passage, the more that I saw that I made a mistake in not including the story that comes after it, because this passage really cannot be understood without the story that comes right after it. At the beginning of today's verses, it says, now when Jesus saw great crowds around him, he gave orders to go to the other side. What that means is he invited all of those disciples to get in a boat that would then take them to the other side of the sea. And so it was in response to that that the man said, I'll follow you everywhere. And Jesus is like, are you sure? Because you're not going to have a place to sleep. And the disciple says, well, before I get on the boat, let me go and bury my father. Right? And so we don't actually know if either of those men ended up getting on the boat. What we do know is that the people that said yes, all of a sudden in the middle of that sea, encountered this huge windstorm, this huge rain, and that waves were crashing over the boat like the log ride at Disney World, right? And in the middle of that, somehow Jesus was asleep. And they went up and they woke him up. They were terrified. They said, "Lord, save us." And he woke up and said to them, "You of little faith," right? And then acting like it was not a big deal at all, he calmed the wind and the waves, and the disciples were amazed. They said, "Who is this man that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Right? And so we might say no to something really important and yes to Jesus and still run into storms and setbacks. But Jesus is saying, have faith. Trust me. Believe that I can meet your chaos and your disaster with peace and calm if you're in the boat with me. And so instead of seeing this other side, right, as scary or something that worries us, what if we saw it as an adventure? What if we saw this, like, saying yes to the other side as something that's hopeful and exciting? This place where we encounter the amazing work of what God can do, right? We know that it's hard to say no. We know that it's hard to leave that safe shore behind us. But perhaps what we gain in going and saying yes is more than we could have ever asked for or imagined, right? The courage to say no can lead us to the kingdom life that God has in store for us. And so today, really what I'm saying is these invitations from Jesus continue, right? Bow down, worship me, place your whole life before me as an offering. Drop your nets, follow me. Come, get away with me, recover your life. Do not worry. Seek first the kingdom. Get in the boat. Thanks be to God. Amen.